Now, what about the other proposal everybody's been chatting about, the decriminalized marijuana proposal?
Yeah.
What are you seeing with the polls and the sentiment on the street showing a direction that will take?
Well, I wish I had such a poll. That's an interesting issue. It's just in the city of Grand Rapids only. You have to live
correct.
In the voter only city voters. And it would basically make possession of pot comparable to a parking ticket. Just last week, the county prosecutor finally kind of issued a statement that said this is not good. The police chief has said this is not good. But you've had the current and the past mayor both say this is an important change. You've
right.
had interesting support from a number of areas about this idea that we're wasting time and money and lives by putting people in jail for possession of a small amount of pot. I think that the pro forces on this, the decriminalized supporters, they have worked this and they are continuing to, and they will mobilize their voters. What I don't really have a sense of is just how the average citizen that doesn't really pay much attention, what's on their mind. I mean, it could pass. Whether it will have legal challenges afterwards, I don't know. There is some question about, the concerns raised by the prosecutor Forsyth was, there's nothing in there about juveniles. I mean, should we promote 12-year-olds from smoking dope? There's nothing in there about the volume of marijuana involved. Should people, is that going to promote people having, ounces, pounds of pot laying around, making them, apt to be crime victims? Fact is, a lot of drug activity on an intense level is accompanied by guns and crime and danger. That's a reality. Other cities, most notably Ann Arbor, a long time ago have had this. Kalamazoo has it. I believe Traverse City, a few others. Flint is voting on a very similar one, but actually Flint's is a little more restrictive. It does have age limits.
Okay.
Which is actually a real concern, I guess, among the police community here in Grand Rapids. So, I don't have a good sense. I haven't seen any polls, I will just see. The fact is, people can vote like now if you're doing absentee voting. In fact, last night at City Hall in Grand Rapids this week. Tuesday night, we're taping, but they had a come on down and vote in person event.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of cool.
Sure,
and,
sure.
It's coming close. It's election season. It's an exciting time.
Right. Now, the Roy Schmidt party switch has been a pretty big story over the last few months. Now we got a few other folks. You got Winnie Brink, Spin Goey, Keith Allard. They're all vying for a spot in the 76th.
Yep.
What's your take on the mood of the public with that race at the moment?
Well, my sense is that Roy Schmidt will no longer be a state representative. I get that feeling from a number of areas.
You think that there's any way that the vote would split with so many horses in the race that would cause Roy to win potentially?
Well, no, that certainly is a possibility. A lot of factors, though. I don't get a sense that Roy is working this campaign very hard. The yard signs, the various events. The fact is, what he did, and he has apologized for it, was really one of the most dishonest, underhanded, despicable things I've ever seen a politician do.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows it. He regrets it. But it happened.
Well, why doesn't he step down?
He has declined to do that. He's willing to let the voters decide, and the race is very split up, as you noted. So he is the Republican on the ballot. Winnie Brinks, an unknown Democrat, is now on the ballot. But you've also do have a big effort from Republican Bing Goey, who lost in the primary to try to do a write-in, to try to be the Republican candidate.
I think it was the absentees that pushed Roy over on that.
Yeah. And I mean, absentee voting, a write-in voting is hard, you know, to win an election via write-in. It requires somebody to, you know, physically write in and do an active step that a lot of voters just don't do. But, you know, maybe they're motivated in this race. Goey had a very competitive race 2 years ago for a different House seat. But, I mean, he's a known brand, if you will. Mm-hmm. And then, as you say, you know, you've got three other independent, non-major party people, Keith Allard and others. So it's a split vote. But, you know, related to this, what I'm honestly most interested to find out is how the Speaker of the House of Reps, Jace Bolger, fares. He's in Marshall, and, you know, he has been he's played a role in this whole vote, you know, switch, this party switch thing, which there's now a grand jury, a judge in Lansing, who is in the midst of, like, month three of her investigation into what to do, what, if any, criminal charges should come out of this. There has been no ruling. I mean, it could literally come any moment.
Right.
And whether it will come before the election will be, you know, very impactful, I think, either way. I don't know. No one knows when it's going to come because it's a secret grand jury. But, you know, it has just really been an amazing thing, this whole Schmidt situation.
Yeah, bordering on ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, voters of all parties were outraged, as well they should be.
Sure, absolutely. Now, you also recently did some coverage on Justin Amash, Steve Pesca. Amash opted not to do a debate against Pesca. What's the public mood on that?
Well, I think, I don't know what it is, but I think that they should be disturbed and outraged, honestly, because, I mean, I think that it is an obligation of any office holder to stand for a debate. Amash Pesca, there will be no debate. And you know, typically in any race, the person who is in office, the incumbent, they have the most to lose from a debate, and they tend to want the fewest, whereas your challenger wants the free airtime and publicity that a debate can generate, and, you know, it can give them opportunities. So, you know, for practical purposes, I completely understand it. But to really deny people a chance to ask you or to have someone, you know, ask the questions of your elected rep, you know, I think it's terrible.
Right.
It's also not occurring in the U.S. Senate race, and that's also terrible.
Hoekstra-Stabenow.
Now, Hoekstra is blaming Stabenow. Stabenow is blaming Hoekstra. Honestly, there's so many details that I don't really care. But, you know, who's to blame?
Sure.
But the fact is, that's the situation, and the voters are getting ripped off, especially on a statewide election. This is a six-year term representing the entire state of Michigan in the United States Senate. I mean, come on. If we can't get those folks together in a forum where we can have some better idea of who they are, how they think, then that's just ridiculous.
Right, right.
It is ridiculous.